The Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans, fighting for America.
Do I want to send one of my sons or your son to fight to regain Mosul? Who should want to stop them more? Maybe the people who live there.
There are a lot of groups out there that probably have more advanced immediate plans directed against the United States.
Fighting for Idaho.
Pride is an important celebration for the LGBT community. It's important to be out and be proud of who you are and be safe in your community and show everyone that we're part of Boise.
Fighting for you.
Portugal scores a devastating goal to tie the game.
Team USA settling for a 2-2 draw.
We're Team USA, we're going all the way.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, welcome to Monday. I really wish I had some good news today at 580 KIDO. Ray, it looks like we might have to go with our "There's Something Wrong with the World Today." When we're thinking about the Aerosmith song, when we're thinking about the theme of the program today, by the way, all you have to do is play what's going on in Iraq. You have to play what's going on with the IRS. You have to play what's going on with the Pride and all those sorts of things. Where do we begin? Well, our guest, Steve Sherman, is running a little late. So if we get him, great. If not, it will be you, me, and the Millie Militia, which is fascinating. Coming up this week, we're going to have Ed Klein joining us. And if you're one of these folks that goes to the internet or follows the internet or what have you, there is a big story there concerning Hillary Clinton and whether or not she has a bad heart. And that seems to be certainly a notice of concern, Hillary Clinton's medical conditions, if someone's going to run for the presidency. Remember how many times they gave John McCain such a hard time about this? So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up this week with Ed Klein. But first, at 580-5436, I'm trying to think of, you know, anything good. Now, we could sit there and we could go on and on about World Cup soccer. What type of real sport, Greg Pruitt, Phil Hardy, my two friends that love soccer, what type of sport ends in a tie? Think about it. The U.S. was down 1-0. They come back and take a 2-1 lead. And then Ronaldo there, not our Ronaldo that we hear on Saturdays with us, the soccer star Ronaldo, kicks a tying goal, I guess. And I didn't even watch the game, and I've got this. And all this buzz about World Cup soccer, basically what it is they want us to embrace globalism. Now, what do you mean by that, Kevin Miller, at 580KIDO? Think about this. There have been over 190,000 tickets sold just to this country alone, just to Americans for World Cup soccer. Then you've got the Argentinians, the Portuguese, the Brazilians, 20,000-30,000 tickets max. And yet we call this the World Cup. It should be called the America's Cup. And the big money is coming from this country. And people are going to say, see, soccer really is a better sport, a much more civilized sport than football. Because it involves the world, we're not the best at it, you've got diversity, where else could it matter what Germany does to Portugal, or whether what we do with Ghana? And it's a grand distraction, but I digress. By the way, we'll always welcome people to call in at 580-5436 to talk about World Cup soccer, because A, we're not a sports show, but B, I don't think real sports end in ties. There's no ties in NASCAR, is there? I mean, I'd rather, again, watch Carl Edwards win at Sonoma than watch the World Cup soccer. But let's move on to something serious. And this broke Friday morning when we left, and I was kind of holding it and holding it until today. And this is about the IRS. There was a big hearing going on in Capitol Hill, and if you missed it, this will wake you up this morning. It was at the Longworth Building, and it involved possible presidential candidate and avid runner Paul Ryan interrogating the IRS commissioner. Let's hear what our federal government, the bureaucrats, how they respond to making mistakes.
5 minutes. This is unbelievable. The apology that ought to be given is to the American taxpayer, not to a government agency that is abusing its power. I am sitting here listening to this testimony. I don't believe it. That's your problem. Nobody believes you.
Come on now.
The Internal Revenue Service comes to Congress a couple years ago and misleads us and says no targeting is occurring. Then it said it was a few rogue agents in Cincinnati. Then it said it was also on progressives. All of those things have been proven untrue. This committee sent a criminal referral of possible criminal wrongdoing just a month ago to the Justice Department. We've heard nothing. You bury in a 27-page letter to the Senate asking for them to conclude the investigation that you've lost Lois Lerner's emails during the time in question because of a hard drive crash.
Now, but wait a minute. By the way, this is Paul Ryan at the Longworth Building on Friday talking to the latest IRS commissioner. Notice the IRS commissioner's response. Remember, we're talking about folks that, as Paul Ryan said, when you're audited, 7 years of your personal tax information, if you're audited, and by the way, we had someone call in and say that they dealt with the IRS and they're nice people. It has been my personal experience with my friends and everyone else that most of the time the IRS screws up when it comes to your audit, and then they threaten to take your money, they threaten to garnish your wages, they threaten to put liens on your home. Do you think that the founding fathers would have wanted the IRS around? I mean, they make the king look like a wimp.
Monday, our investigators ask your agency whether any other hard drives crashed, and we learned that six other hard drives of the people we're investigating were involved. You didn't tell us that.
We told you on Monday.
On Monday.
And what did you do with the
Because we asked you.
Right, and what did you do with that information?
You told us on Monday because we asked you whether any other hard drives crashed. This is unbelievable.
We answered
you told us on May that you were going to give us all of Lois Lerner's emails, and you learned in February that this crashed.
I did not learn in February it was a crash, and we told you on Monday.
I'm not asking you a question. I'm just making
Sorry
a statement.
My apologies.
You are the Internal Revenue Service.
By the way, Congress would have not known about this if it hadn't been for our great friend and his group, Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, that actually forced the IRS to reveal these things in court. So we talk about responsibility. Paul Ryan has every right to be upset. I wish these guys were upset more often than not, right?
You can reach into the lives of hardworking taxpayers, and with a phone call, an email, or a letter, you can turn their lives upside down. You ask taxpayers to hang on to 7 years of their personal tax information in case they're ever audited, and you can't keep 6 months' worth of employee emails? And now that we are seeing this investigation, you don't have the emails. Hard drives crashed. You learned about this months ago. You just told us, and we had to ask you on Monday. This is not being forthcoming. This is being misleading again. This is a pattern of abuse, a pattern of behavior that is not giving us any confidence that this agency is being impartial. I don't believe you. This is incredible.
I have a long career. That's the first time anybody has said that you do not believe me.
I don't believe you.
That's fine. We can have a disagreement. I'm willing.
There you have it. And you notice that the, what is it, John Koskin, Greg Kinnear, whatever his name is, there is no humility. There is no remorse. There is no I'm sorry that I don't owe you an apology. Paul Ryan, I wish Paul Ryan would have said this during the campaign. Maybe he'd be Vice President Ryan. Think about this, you that are in business for yourself. And we have a lot of people that listen to this program, and thank you for listening to us, that are small business people, whether you're driving a cab, whether you're running a company, whether you're a one-man band. And what's the biggest impediment to business? Government. And yes, there have to be regulations, but the tax code, the employment tax, the workers' compensation, the government does everything that they can to make sure that people don't go in business for themselves. And so what happens to you? Where was I? Oh, that's right. I was visiting some friends of mine in Reno a couple weeks ago. And there's a young man that was sitting at the breakfast buffet table there at the Atlantis. And really, breakfast buffet is kind of a ripoff, isn't it? Lunch buffet, dinner buffet, that's good stuff. But breakfast buffet, I mean, how many times can you load up on eggs and spicy sausage? I digress. And this young man told me, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, that in one of the roughest areas of the country, one of the toughest challenges, he started a business. And he had to make a decision on starting a business, on whether or not to pay his taxes or to keep the doors open. And eventually the IRS caught up with him, and he said, okay, you got me. Dealt with them, and everything's good to go. But we talk about breaks and incentives. I was driving home from, if you call it work, on Saturday morning. And there are a lot of people that work on Saturdays, and that's one of the reasons why I work on Saturdays. People say, why do you work on Saturdays? A, I'm not good enough to work 5 days a week. B, I think that we have to earn your trust each and every day, and we don't abdicate that responsibility on weekends. And C, I see you working 6-7 days a week, and we want to be like you. So as I'm driving home, I'm comparing the government, the media, to the real working folks. And I don't see a lot of people in the media. I don't see a lot of people in the government working more than their standard 9 to 5. And usually that's probably 6 hours because you throw in a lunch, you throw in a break, and you're down to maybe 6 hours. You're down to 30 hours a week. And never mind on Fridays because everybody's checkout Charlie. This is why the IRS has been able to get away with this stuff. But just like the federal government printing money and not balancing its books, and the state of Idaho being responsible, fiscally responsible, to balancing its budget. I mean, there are two sets of rules. One's for the bureaucrats, and one's for us, right?
To stand on our record, I'm willing to remind you that it was not buried in 27 pages. Most of that 27 pages is exhibits. When asked about the custodians, we advised you
forthcoming,
which we knew for one day.
Being forthcoming is to say,
I'm sorry,
you know what, investigators, Congress, who's investigating this?
Will you let him answer the question?
I didn't ask him a question.
Yes, you did.
Being forthcoming.
The gentleman from Wisconsin.
I control the time.
I realize that disrupting a hearing sort of.
No, come on.
No. People, but the gentleman from Wisconsin.
I am not yielding time. I control the time.
He has a time.
Here's what being forthcoming is.
Regular order.
If we are investigating criminal wrongdoing, targeting of people based on their political beliefs, and the emails in question are lost because of a hard drive crash that is apparently unrecoverable, which a lot of IT professionals would question, and you don't tell us about it until we ask you about it, that is not being forthcoming.
And that's true.
I yield back the balance of my time.
That's not true. The gentleman yields back.
There we have it. Another example why the young people, why a lot of people have checked out. We can't afford to check out. This guy had the audacity to tell Congress at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. He had the audacity to tell Congress that losing emails, that destroying hard drives was okay. And then he got all puffy with Congressman Ryan. Now, whether you're Gene and Cuna or whoever, at 580-5436, is this the way that you want your government run? And I understand it's much more appealing and alluring to jump on the Vava Zuzu or what have you and kind of do your own thing. But folks, this is why elections count. This is why elections matter. I mean, we're going to be lulled to sleep by the bureaucrats as they continue to take and take and take. Or we can stand up and support people like Congressman Ryan and others that are standing up to the IRS. God bless them for that. By the way, coming up next, the IRS commissioner is specifically asked, don't you owe the American people an apology? Don't you owe us an apology? You know, like when your kids do something wrong and they have to say they're sorry? Will the IRS even give us that? 619, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Getting back to this IRS commissioner, should he in fact apologize?
What I didn't hear in that was an apology to this committee.
I don't think an apology is owed. There not a single email has been lost since the start of this investigation. Every email has been preserved that we have. We have produced or will produce by the end of this.
You don't think the time period between January 2009 and April 2011 is relevant to this investigation?
It is a very relevant time.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. The letter we received from the IRS on Friday the 13th admitted that Lerner emails were lost for this 2.5 year period.
They were lost off.
But you didn't.
They were lost off her hard drive. We also advised.
Let me finish. I'm not finished with my question, and I'll give you an opportunity to answer.
That's fine.
But you failed to explain the timeline of events that led to that admission. And my.
There we have it. The IRS. Do they owe us an apology? I mean, let's face it. The law has been broken. When you and let me spell it out for you here at 580-5436. It's kind of like you. When you get a speeding ticket, you broke the law. You broke the law. Maybe when you assault somebody, you broke the law. When you prosecute someone, not based on any financial discrepancies, but based on their personal political beliefs, the law has been broken. And quite frankly, if you believe that the president, whether you agree with him or not, had any type of integrity, whether or not Eric Holder, the crime-fighting attorney general, had any type of integrity. You remember Eric Holder.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Lois Lerner should be put in jail. Lois Lerner should be tried right now on what she did. Well, what's the charge? You cannot prosecute. You cannot audit people in America for their political beliefs. Clear and simple. The laws were broken. And you have some outrage by a few in Congress, but you have the Democrats. I always love it when people say, well, we've got to end this stalemate. The stalemate is being perpetuated by whom? The Democrats, because they know they're wrong. How can you defend the indefensible? It would be as if the lesbian, gay, transgendered community, it would be if one of those groups were prosecuted based on their beliefs. Would there be outrage if that happened to them? I believe there would be. There would be a huge uproar perpetrated by the press. The problem here, and this is the problem that the state Republican Party has, is that the press is dictating things because people, even though they have talk radio, even though they have social media, they don't have a voice that will echo what's really going on. What are we hearing about the state Republican Party? Well, you heard Barry Peterson on Saturday. If you didn't, we'll play those for you coming up. His opinion, uncensored, unfiltered. And then you have other news outlets that are saying, well, the Tea Party stacked things. How does that work? And you have people that are uninformed that believe it, because they don't study the issues. And that's where we come in. And I wish we had the good news show where we're going, hey, it's going to be another day today in the high 80s, 85 today. And we're looking forward to having a good time tonight because it's going to get down in the 70s. Woo. Can you imagine the breeze right now? Okay. And all these other issues going on, where is the accountability? At 580-5436. Where is the accountability? I think, in fact, they might have won because people keep saying, oh, it's the same old stuff. That doesn't make it less pertinent, does it? I mean, really, that doesn't make it less pertinent when we're discussing laws that are broken, lack of accountability, and you take a look at this administration. How can anyone, how can any Democrat, whether you're Matt Erpelding or Nicole LaFever, the two that appear on this program, how can you say that this administration has been a success? All heck is breaking loose in the Middle East, and the president's talking about whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole? Is that the language of diplomacy? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Thousands crowded into downtown Boise for the 24th anniversary of Pride Fest.
Pride is an important celebration for the LGBT community.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is.
Will you let him answer the question?
I didn't ask him a question.
Yes, you did.
The gentleman.
Things in a different way. God knows it ain't his.
What we can't do is think that we're just going to play whack-a-mole and send U.S. troops.
We're living on the edge.
If we're going to go to war, we need to have a consensus.
Oh, it's a great cross, and it is an equalizer.
Team USA settling for a 2-2 draw. Their chance to advance now uncertain.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. You know, whatever happened to the meritocracy in America today? You know, the great thing about you that listen to this program, and we're so blessed and so honored that we have people that work for a living each and every day. You know, I'd put this audience up against any audience in the country, as far as being interactive, as far as being responsive. And I, you know, especially that Saturday morning crew, I think we're probably maybe one of 10 shows, and I'm actually going to do this week, that actually has a live local talk show on Saturday. It used to be that way for many, many years. People say, well, you used to have an operator too. Well, when people get lazy, when people decide they don't want to work, when they just want to run clips, we see what happens. Government just runs amok. There's no accountability. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you know, we're here to afflict the comforted. By the way, Pride Week. I love how this has become a news story. Now, without getting too much in the devil in the details, how in the world can we talk about people that are persecuted if we have the pride thing where everybody comes out and shows their pride? I don't get it, but then I had Nicole LeFevre tell me that I was anti-gay for disagreeing with same-sex marriage. I do think there is a First Amendment, at least somewhere in this country. You know, I had a friend of mine the other day tell me, and he's in the media, he's in this business, and he was saying to me that he's looking forward to getting a promotion at work. And this would be in the television business. And I said, really, why would you, you know, what's wrong with where you are? Well, I'm very happy because people have recognized who and what I am. And I go, really? And I said, well, why is that? Well, I'm in a certain age range, and the audience for television is a lot older. So people are looking at me specifically because of my age. And I said to this person, and I won't say whether it was a female or a male, I said, well, that's good for you. And I thought about it last night as I was getting ready for church, and I'm thinking, shouldn't you be on a list to get a promotion because you're good? Because you're worthwhile? And I'm not saying that this individual isn't. They're very talented in what they do, whether it's the weather or, you know, doing something on television. But I thought to myself, is this where we've become? And then now we have John Kerry, who has said that his major goal now is to get a transgender, a lesbian, and or a bisexual as an ambassador. That's right. From the Weekly Standard, with much of the Obama administration's foreign policy in tatters, John Kerry is clear at least one goal he hopes to achieve by the end of his time as Secretary of State: having lesbian, bisexual, transgendered ambassadors representing the United States of America. Now, he said this in front of GLIFA, formerly Gays and Lesbians in Foreign Affairs Agencies. They had a pride event in the Ben Franklin Room of the State Department. Kerry said in his speech to the LGBT community that he would he's looking forward to having more folks in there. And he's going to confirm, or try to get confirmed, Ted Osasis. He would be the sixth openly gay ambassador currently in service. Let's see. Ted here, whom I've known a long time, and his family was the first openly LGBT officer nominated to serve as an ambassador. So here's the thought. Are you going to send him to Iraq? Are you going to send him to one of these countries that don't like us to begin with? You know, the problem here is that these countries, whether they're run by Sharia law or whatever, do not have the same progressive policies that we do when it comes to dealing with the LGBT community. They look at it as an insult. They look at it as an insult that we have women as ambassadors. So are we going to try and put our, impose our values on them? And by the way, the person that wrote the complaint letter to management here, bravo with the word ethnocentric. Ethnocentric, it's like one of two words I learned in college, the other being projection, which I do all the time, projecting my own inadequacies onto other people. And if you do that, time to come out of the closet. But back to the word ethnocentric, and you can use this at work, ethnocentric, it's where you judge a society by the standards of your own. The book The Ugly American was a great example of that. And by the way, aren't we doing that when we're imposing our liberal progressive cultural values on these extreme Islamic countries? No wonder they don't like us. By the way, one person who we're a big fan of, State Republican Party Chairman Barry Peterson, had some issues with us over the weekend. He chose to call in on the award-winning, soon-to-be-recognized as the best-ever Saturday morning show with the All-Star Panel concerning the future of the State Republican Party. At 580 KIDO. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Kevin. I've been listening to this discussion about the key.
Go ahead, Barry.
Well, as I reflect back on that, it was my position that I'd be remiss if I didn't secure the information that's on the computers at the office.
Now, again, this is with Patriot Ray, Tea Party Bob, Daryl, and Sheila from the Canyon County Tea Party. So I didn't change my voice. That was Patriot Ray. And I think I yell at Tea Party Bob, and he yells back at me during this. But the allegations that he changed the locks on the doors, Barry Peterson, unfiltered, uncensored, responds.
There's nothing in the office that's a secret, but it is all critical to the functioning of the party. And I would be remiss if I didn't do all that I could to protect that information.
Now, Barry, in your own words, because you've heard me go back and forth here with your great defenders at 580KIDO, why did you change the locks, and has that ever been done before, the keys?
You know, I don't know if it's ever been done before or not, but I did know that the information in there is critical to the functioning of the party. There isn't anything in the office that's secret, but I felt an obligation that everything should be secure and protected. And any time there's a change, it seems reasonable and prudent. It seems prudent to try to protect the information. I just became aware, for instance, that our computer system does not have a backup deal.
Well, you're not the IRS, are you?
No, I'm not the IRS.
Barry, all you need to do is to call up NSA, and they'll tell you exactly what you need to know.
Now, let's not joke about this here at 580KIDO. Barry, what about the thoughts, as I've said here, that it calls into the question the credibility of doing this during the time of the leadership crisis?
Kevin, if there's a concern that the information in the office could be protected, why would I not do the prudent thing and protect the information? There's no harm done in protecting the information. It's available. All the information we have is reasonably public, but it should be protected.
And I agree with you, Barry.
Well, we're not talking to you. So anyway, here.
I agree too, Barry.
Barry, but back to the point, and I don't know if you saw the channel. Don't pour your coffee right now.
You see, this is what happens on Saturday morning here. These guys take over. We're trying to have a real live interview with the chairman of the State Republican Party, and I got the yuck yuck fest here. Anyway, 580KIDO, coming up next, part two of our interview with State GOP Chairman Barry Peterson. He responds to the critics. And in the next hour, he'll actually respond to a few other things. We have Chris Troupas joining us as well. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Back to our interview with State Republican Party Chairman Barry Peterson. See, Barry, I got to keep everybody in line while I'm talking to you, so I'm struggling to have my train of thought here at 580KIDO, but the perception, and I don't know if you saw the Channel 7 report last night or if you want to correct any of that, that the locks are changed, the Tea Party stacked the credential committee, that you're to blame. I don't believe that.
However, that's the perception that you're dealing with and others are.
Okay. There are several difficult things trying to get the message out. The media does not portray the message even-handedly. But the idea that the locks were changed for anything other than security is completely out of order. It's the prudent thing to do. And nobody's at a loss of anything because I changed the lock. Anybody that needs to get in there, they can get in there when the office is open and that we have staff there. This deal about changing the locks is blown way out of proportion. There was another incident happened this week. I was in there just because of the transition. Trevor's leaving. We have new staff. I just wanted to be helpful. So I was making trips into the office, and the new lady that Trevor hired a month and a half or so ago, she said to me, "Barry, do you mind if we just kind of clean this up in here?" And I said, "Heck no, I don't mind. It'd be nice to have it clean." She says, "Do you mind if I bring a couple of volunteers in to clean this stuff up and get rid of some of it?" I said, "Absolutely not. In fact, I'll help you." So I went to the back room, which you could hardly get in, and there were empty boxes and broken chairs, et cetera. And I started packing along with other members of the staff who were volunteers some of this stuff out to the garbage. All of a sudden, the radio or the TV station shows up and wants to know what's going on. And that got blown clear out of proportion. It was just simply a little house cleaning going on. And you'd have thought that I was robbing Wells Fargo or the armory down at the U.S. Congress or something. That stuff got blown clear out of proportion, but immediately we quit cleaning. There's no more cleaning going on at the office till things settle down. And what relative to changing the locks on the door was just simply a security procedure to protect the information that, while it's sensitive, it's not secret. And it's on our computers, and it's my understanding that we don't have a backup system for our computer system, and so we got to get that in place.
Barry, who would you be protecting it from?
Pardon me?
Who are you protecting it from?
It's not the idea that I have a target. The idea is that I'm protecting the information.
All right, Barry Peterson.
If you want to see it, Kevin, you're welcome to come down there when we're open and we're doing business. If the governor wants to see it, he can come down and see it when we're open and doing business. If the media wants to see it, they can come down and look at it when we're open and doing business. But it'd be unwise for me, it'd be imprudent on my part, if I didn't secure the office.
Barry, a final question, and this is something that Bob and I have yapped about off the air and on the air. Do you believe that it is incumbent upon the convention chairman, Congressman Labrador, to come to your defense?
What I believe relative to that is that Congressman Labrador can take whatever posture he wants, but I do know that at the convention, at the motion to adjourn, he conferred with two parliamentarians as to the disposition of the officers of the party. He came back to the podium and said the effect of voting for the adjournment would leave in place the then serving officers of the party. And he was asked about that from the delegations. After he posed the situation that those positions would remain in place as now constituted, he asked for the vote, and it was overwhelming in support of the vote to adjourn, giving the condition that the then existing officers would remain in place along with the platform and other positions of the party.
Right, Barry. You know, I have 10 seconds left. Can you hang on for a minute?
There we have it, and that'll be continued coming up next hour here. Kevin Miller with you here. Barry Peterson calling into our Saturday show, talking about the future of the GOP, changing the locks on the doors, and what's next. We'll decide, as will a lot of folks. Let's get you to work. 580 KIDO coming up next. Dave Pezzo, news about your money. Chris Troupas, his thoughts on what's going to happen between the national RNC and the local RNC, and your thoughts Kevin Miller, Good Morning, 580 KIDO.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.